What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. Happy New Year. Happy New Year's Eve. Let's talk some money and politics with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore from FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity and the book Gubzilla. Welcome, kids. Thank you for doing this. Happy New Year. Happy New Year's Eve.
Larry?
Good. Steve there? Do we have Steve? Steve Moore. All right. We'll try to find Steve Moore. Liz Peek, my first question is...
I'm here.
There you go. Happy New Year. Good. Stay with us. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, hang on for a while. Kids,
hello.
I want to start with a simple question. Who is the person of the year? Liz Peek, you first.
Okay, well, I have to say Ron DeSantis. Certainly, if you're a Republican, he's the person of the year because he has put forward an amazing political record in a pretty short period of time, has kind of zoomed up in terms of popularity and people knowing about Ron DeSantis. He's managed his state brilliantly. You know, at the end of the day, there is a thing called accountability. And if you run a state which is ranking number one in all kinds of positive categories, like in migration and best state for businesses and best taxation and all the rest, you know, you got to really applaud this guy, and I do. I think he's doing a wonderful job, and I think he is also doing something the Republican Party needs desperately, which is to put forward a possible 24 candidate who embraces the policies we all liked that Donald Trump delivered, but that Donald Trump may not be the best person to run on because he may not win the next election. And I think, boy, oh boy, do we not need to start winning some elections. So he's my candidate.
By the way, Liz, running at the top of the Fox Business website, they rank, Forbes magazine ranks Tampa as the best city in Florida. Tampa.
That's interesting.
Thought I'd put that one in. Thank heavens it wasn't Palm Beach. Steve Moore, person of the year.
Well, I was going to say Larry Kudlow for being number one business show.
Yeah, there you go.
But I thank you. Somebody just eked you out. You know who that is? Aaron Judge.
Oh, Aaron Judge.
Run. Come on. So I know this isn't a sports show, but that's a pretty amazing feat. If I can't go with the sports figure, and if I can't go with you, I'd probably have to say Elon Musk. I think he was Time Magazine Man of the Year last year, but my God, what he's done this year has been pretty amazing as well. And really exposing what's going on with our government, which is really scary.
Elon Musk is my choice. He's my choice. Yeah. Guy spent $44 billion for free speech and opened up the thicket of what the FBI was doing with misinformation and collusion and maybe the CIA. God knows where this story is going to lead, but I got to give it to Elon Musk. I mean, the guy's just incredible. But my second question is, who's the dummy of the year, Liz Peek? The absolute dummy of the year.
Okay, well, you know, I put out a piece, Five Biggest Winners and Losers on Fox today. And I have to say, Tom Brady was in, you know, the top category as loser. but, you know, it's not a sports show, but you got to say, here is the greatest of all time who has hung around too long, who did this sort of in and out of whether, you know, very Shakespearean drama about retirement, no drama, not retiring, loses his wife. I mean, the whole thing, I think, is kind of minor league tragic. And by the way, the Buccaneers may make the playoffs only because their part of the draw is so terrible. But, you know, they haven't even had a winning record. Imagine this. First time in 22 seasons, Tom Brady may have a losing record. So I feel sorry for him, honestly. But he's kind of brought this on himself, and I feel bad about that. And by the way, of course, I think Joe Biden is the biggest dummy of the year, but I'm trying to be a little more creative than that, a little more original.
Steve Moore, dummy of the year.
So I've got co-dummies of the year. I'm going to have to go with Gavin Newsom for telling everyone they have to drive electric vehicles and then saying, oops, we don't have the charging stations. We don't have enough electricity for electric vehicles. That was pretty dopey. And then, you know, you got to go with Pete Buttigieg. I mean, the guy was in charge of the supply chain problem, and all we've had all this year is supply chain problems. And it's amazing that those are the two front runners for the Democratic nomination for 2024. What a sorry party.
Jeez, Buttigieg.
Wait a minute, Steve. You forgot Kamala Harris. I mean, you got to put her right up there with Pete Buttigieg, right? The two most likely successors to Joe Biden, should he choose not to run, Pete Buttigieg, who can't drive a car, and Kamala Harris, who honestly has done what? I mean, the border's her baby. It's a headline every day. Nothing is being done. It's pretty a staggering thing, right? She whines, she whines about her portfolio.
Has she actually been to the border yet?
No, because she hasn't been to Europe. Oh, wait, she did go to Europe.
You know, Buttigieg has just done a great job with the airline problem with Southwest Airlines. He's just all over it, right? By the way, Liz.
My luggage for me.
As a side effect, when is the board of Southwest going to fire the CEO?
Well, yeah. I think this is a disaster that has been in the making and unfolding for months, if not years.
Yeah.
And look, I think this is a perfect example, and I'm sure it'll be a Harvard Business School case study of short-term gains at the expense of long-term survivability. And it really is a case study of that, right? You kind of, you know, I think also you cut back on technology, you cut back on investment, it boosts your bottom line for a while, and then you get completely hammered. But I think, Larry, honestly, it raises the visibility of technology investment generally by businesses, because I've seen, and I'm party to aware of, let's say, what banks spend and financial institutions spend on tech. Mm-hmm. It is staggering of billions of dollars. And so are airlines. And so are, by the way, communications companies and so forth. Tech is huge, and it may be out of fashion right now to invest in it. Stocks may be getting clobbered. But, boy, it is the grease that makes the wheels turn at this point. And you see a company like Southwest, which is underinvested in it, just completely go down the tubes, and that's what happened.
By the way, Jeff Peek should be the banker of the year. How about that?
He is a good banker.
Tell Jeff Peek he's the banker of the year. But excluding Joe Biden, and I admit Buttigieg is close, but I got to say John Kerry is the dummy of the year. Yeah. John Kerry could be the stupidest man in Washington. The whole global warming, Green New Deal thing is so utterly, disastrously catastrophic. You know, he's pushing this, I don't know, behind the scenes. He's the front guy. But what he's done, and I mean, you know, Steve, the catastrophe here is what they've done to fossil fuels, or what they're trying to do to fossil fuels, what the impact has been on inflation and the middle class and the overall economy. I got to give John Kerry a lot of credit. Honestly, the dummy of the year.
Yeah, the only thing I would quibble with is that this really is a religious movement that has really taken over the entire Democratic Party. I mean, I'm just shocked week after this complete calamity of these climate change policies, which are destroying our energy, destroying, you know, so many of our vital industries. And nobody on the Democratic Party will speak out at the tomfoolery of this. I mean, the idea that somehow we're going to rescue the planet with windmills is really one of the stupidest ideas in history. And yet it's captured the entire – look, maybe global warming is happening. Maybe climate change is happening. But I guarantee you windmills and solar power are not going to save that. By the way, this issue that came up when you talked about maybe inventions of the year is this idea of this new fusion technology, which is still several decades away. But that could be a total game changer in terms of cheap and abundant energy. And by the way, the left – was skeptical of this and saying, well, we don't really need it because we have windmills and we have solar panels. Why do we need that?
Well, fusion's been a couple decades away for 60 years.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, you know, it's coming.
So true.
Actually, my second one would be Jennifer Granholm.
Yeah, what an idiot.
Same thing.
My third one would be that, what's her name, Deb Haller? What's her name, the Interior Secretary? She's the one stopping all the permits. Actually, if I had a list of the cabinet here, I'd just go down their list.
A cabinet review in 22 would be a pretty disheartening undertaking, I think.
Really think of it. Is anybody?
Yeah. I mean, let's start with Janet Yellen, who completely missed the whole problem with inflation and basically torpedoed a pretty good academic reputation by becoming a political hack who knows better. I mean, political hacks are all over the place. John Kerry, to your point, you forgot all about the fact that he's still enamored of Iran and a deal with Iran, even as Iranian drones are causing more mischief and mayhem in the world than probably any other single output. I mean, John Kerry really is just sort of, as you say, a dummy. And, Janet Yellen presumably is not, and yet she has been, I think, an unforgivably bad Treasury secretary.
By the way, don't forget John Kerry pushing a global warming deal with, hold your breath, China.
Right, exactly. Right. They're all in on this.
Right, all in. Absolutely. China is going to be a party to global warming and meet coal plant building notwithstanding. No, I mean the cabinet. Maybe Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, is the least bad in that gang.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, let's check out his role in Afghanistan. I mean, what other big event have we seen from from the Pentagon? That's the, I think, one of the biggest warts on this administration to date, an unforgivably badly executed and planned withdrawal that led many people dead, including thousands of Afghans, and, by the way, turned the country over to the Taliban with basically no strings attached. And now we see the devolution of that sad country into an absolutely horrifying situation again.
Yeah, that's a good, those are all good points, yeah. He's got
to By the way, I want to add, could I have one more dummy of the year that, because we can, if we need to maintain our bipartisanship here. The 23 senators in the Republican Party who voted for the omnibus spending bill, which was it's an economic and even bigger political catastrophe for the Republican Party. I can't tell you, Larry, how absolutely insanely angry the conservatives are, the Republican donors are. They have really stepped in it on this one. It's going to take a long time for people to forgive them.
Steve, is Kevin going to make it on Tuesday?
Boy, yeah, might have to ask Liz that one. I mean, I think it's very dicey. There's a lot of scuttlebutt now, right now, about maybe Scalise taking it. So
yeah.
I still put it 60% that he's going to make it, but he still doesn't have the votes.
I had French Hill on earlier in the show. Apparently this morning, one of the Freedom Caucus people came out and endorsed Kevin McCarthy.
Who?
I can't remember. A senior guy, though. A big deal guy. I mean, French is a big McCarthy supporter. I'm a big McCarthy supporter, for that matter. But he apparently got the support. And he's also the idea that you're going to vacate the chair, which
That's
is really
a terrible idea. Yeah.
Kevin may give a little bit on that. He might give a little bit on that. I don't know. Anyway, all right, this is a good start. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We are talking to Liz Peek and Steve Moore. Happy New Year. I'll be right back.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking New Year's Eve with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore of FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity and Heritage Foundation, and his recent book, Godzilla. Steve Moore, you got some beauties here in terms of your list of worst policy things this year. Congress approves funding for 87,000 new IRS agents. Now, question is, I was talking to Jason Smith about this. I guess he'll be chairman of the Budget Committee or Ways and Means, something. The trouble is they want to repeal it. It's going to be their number one thing, I think, but they really can't until the new fiscal year. I mean, we're stuck with this, right? I mean, you can't get rid of it. It's done from the omnibus bill.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the many reasons that omnibus bill was catastrophic, although they can't look, that's only a 1-year funding. So the IRS gets its big funding for 2023, fiscal 2023, which we're in right now, but they can stop it from happening in the future years. And that does have to be a very, very top priority. I mean, we just can't allow that to happen. I mean, they're now investigating transactions as little as $600. You know, the IRS wants to know all about you. And so, look, if they don't get rid of 87,000 IRS agents, I'm going to burn my RNC card and never. I mean, it has to happen.
Liz, burn your RNC card. You should have burned it anyway. And Liz, Steve's got another one. Biden begs Saudi Arabia and OPEC to increase oil production, but won't allow more drilling here at home. Now, obliquely, we talked about this vis-a-vis John Kerry. But really, the whole story, it seems to me, about stopping out oil and gas production, no permits, no pipelining, no refineries, blaming the oil companies, threatening a windfall. I mean, that's a package of policies that is the worst thing I've seen in the single worst thing I've seen since the 1970s.
Yeah, I think what's so disturbing about this is we are already seeing in Europe and in California and probably increasingly in New England the impact of these restrictions on domestic oil and gas production here at home. When I say Europe, they basically embraced a Green New Policy type of arrangement about 10 or 15 years ago, and it has really been a damaging thing for the economies of Germany and other, particularly other manufacturing countries where they really need power. What's so disturbing, Larry, I think about this all the time, because unless there have been many things written by myself, by you guys, about these policies being wrong and why they're wrong in great detail, why we don't yet have the capability of fast-tracking to renewable fuels, why there are not enough renewables, there are not enough grid changes, there's all these things. But the truth is, unless more honest people in the media and in politics really pick up this theme, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know how damaging it is. If your electricity bill goes up in Massachusetts 30%, your legislators are going to have a lie to tell you about why that's happening. Look at California. There are all kinds of reasons they give for having the highest electricity costs in the country, but they never mention the fact that it's really their big push for electrification that's causing that. So it's very depressing to me that I don't know how you get the word out. Because, as honestly, Steve's right. It is a cult. It is a religion. You know, when people are talked about being climate deniers, that really tells you how cultish it has become. It's cultish now. It's a denier to say, well, what we do doesn't matter. Joe Biden actually inadvertently said that by mistake early in his tenure. It won't matter what we do. And he's right, because China and India and other countries are basically bringing on so much dirty fuel every year that what we do is absolutely a drop in the bucket. And yet they're willing to torch our economy, and they are doing that in order to achieve almost nothing in the way of change. So how can you really break through such massive misinformation, disinformation? You guys talked about Elon Musk lately. I got to tell you, he is the person of the year. It's true, because the only chink in this solid war of disinformation is Twitter now. And, you know, please, God, let other chinks appear, whether it's someone buying the New York Times or whatever, because until that happens, I don't know how you really get to these politicians making these terrible mistakes.
You know, Steve, a point that Liz made, which has been made by Steve Coonan, who was the former top Energy Department scientist, and Bjorn Lomborg. I mean, those guys know a lot about this stuff. But one of the points here is the Biden's hypocrisy. They've never shown us an alternative structure. In other words, how are windmills and solar and renewables going to take over? What's the blueprint? Mm-hmm. What's the cost? Where are the resources? How long might this take? Never, ever have they shown us an alternative structure or blueprint that would replace fossil fuels. I mean, to me, that is the worst. You know, if you disagree with a policy, you have another policy, but you have to flesh out the second policy so you might persuade people. They've not done any of that kind of work.
So I'll give you two numbers, 70% and 7%. Do you know what those numbers are, Larry?
No, 7% inflation?
70% is how much energy we get. How much of our energy comes from fossil fuels?
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
7% is how much we get from wind and solar power. So, you know, wind and solar are fringe forms of energy. They're not scalable to provide more than 25. Well, maybe we could get up to 20%, maybe. I mean, that would be a stretch. But, Larry, where are we going to get the other 80% from? I mean, come on. Let's be adults here. You can't. It's just not scalable. And if you did, you'd have to pave over, like, four areas the size of North Dakota in windmills and solar. It's not even green. It's the industrialization of the entire landscape. And that's why you're seeing, even in places like Massachusetts and California that are as green as you can get, there's a not in my backyard movement going on that is completely blocking the building of these kinds of things because people don't want windmills in their backyard, you know. And so it is not feasible that we could actually get our energy, enough energy from those two sources. Why are they against nuclear power, Larry? I mean, if you want an energy source that produces no greenhouse gas emissions, it would be nuclear power. Why are they against natural gas? Natural gas has been the single biggest contributor to the reduction in our pollution levels over the last 25 years, and they're against it.
You know, Liz, these wind farms, people don't understand wind farms, how vast they are, how destructive they are to the environment, how costly they are, and by the way, how much carbon will go into creating a wind farm. I mean, they're just not honest about this stuff.
No, I've seen them. I'm sure you've seen in Southern California, there are areas, vast stretches of mountains and so forth, covered with these gigantic edifices, and that's what they are. And what they're talking, you know, there's great resistance to putting them in the Cape Cod Sound, the Bay Area, because they are unsightly, but also they kill gazillions of birds. That's not a myth. That is absolutely true. And here we all do handsprings in those coastal regions to protect one plover that's laying eggs, and yet they're willing to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of winged birds. Yeah. It's pretty amazing, really.
Happy New Year, Liz Peek. Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year, Larry.
Happy New Year, guys.
Wonderful. Thanks, everybody.